And take God's Word, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Remember, last week we received from here the covenant that God made with David, promising him to grow his household, to bring about a king, a kingdom that will endure forever, pointing us to Jesus Christ. And so here we see David's response. 2 Samuel 7, verses 18 through 29. Verses 18 through 29. And this is God's Word. Then David, the king, went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was insignificant in your eyes, O Lord God, for you have spoken also of the house of your servant, concerning the distant future. And this is the custom of man, O Lord God. Again, what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God. For the sake of your word and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness to let your servant know. For this reason you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, and there's no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation on the earth is like your people Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people and to make a name for himself and to do a great thing for you and awesome things for your land before your people whom you have redeemed for yourself from Egypt, from nations and their gods? For you have established for yourself your people Israel as your own people forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. Now therefore, O Lord God, the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and his house, confirm it forever, and do as you have spoken, that your name may be magnified forever by saying, 'The Lord of hosts is God over Israel.' And may the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made a revelation to your servant, saying, 'I will build you a house.' Therefore your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. Now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are truth. And you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing may the house of your servant be blessed forever." And that is the word of the Lord. May He bless it to our minds and our hearts. Every time, beloved, we are reading the Scriptures, every time we come to worship and hear the Lord speak to us, we are hearing Yahweh speak to us. Remember, I think it was last week, every time we hear the Word, we're hearing Jesus speak to us. It's the same thing. You're hearing who this wonderful God is, and you're hearing His promises to you who receive them by faith. But what should our reaction be to His Word? What should our reaction be to hearing Him and about Him and hearing His promises that are to us? Now, David gives us the godly example for who he couldn't remain unmoved by Yahweh's plans and His covenant from the beginning of the chapter. And so here we have exactly kind of what we heard this morning with Jacob and his prayer, and how Jacob prayed. We see the same thing here with how David prays. He went in to sit before Yahweh and praises Him, and he pleads with Yahweh to fulfill His promises. His prayer is based, again, on the promises, on the Word of God. Yahweh's declaration stirred David's devotions. His promises ignited David's praises and prayers. And that's how it should be. And first in this passage we see, in verses 18 through 22, David marveling at Yahweh's plan. David's prayer begins with wonder, not petition. He's not asking for things at first, but he's in wonder. He's in awe of this God, of what He's done. He doesn't begin with supplications, but with his surprise about how gracious God is. David marvels over previous grace, which we see in verse 18. "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far?" Gratitude can never forget the past. David has been preserved thus far as he marvels over promised grace or future grace in verse 19. that his house will play a crucial role in the kingdom. He marvels over sovereign grace in verses 20 and 21 that the Lord alone has brought him thus far. The Lord brought him alone this far. And second, we then see in this passage, verses 23 through 24, David praises Yahweh for considering his people, that is Israel, that he has redeemed them from slavery to sin. Today we know that we are redeemed through Christ's blood. And this redeemed people that he's referring to here are also a preserved people. He doesn't save them, he doesn't redeem them, and then just leave them to themselves. He preserves them, for God's people are established forever, says verse 24. Forever. And above all that the Lord has made his people a privileged people. For it says, you, O Lord, have become their God. And then third and finally, we see that David, he prays Yahweh's promises, verses 25 through 29. And this is praying God's will according to the scriptures. And he moves David after he's in wonder, after he praises the Lord for what he's done with God's people and his sovereignty and his grace, then he gets his requests in. And then he's moved to petition. He's asking here that these astounding promises be turned into historical reality. But the promises are the starting point of his prayer. So we see verse 25. Now therefore, O Lord God, the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and his house, confirm it forever and do as you have spoken. And so that's how we should pray often. We start with the word, we start with the promises, and we ought to start with the promises that directly align with our current circumstances and our experience, that we would be comforted in his promises, that would be guided by his promises. Here is the major task for prayer today, to take God's promises, to take his word, and pray he will bring them to pass. Because oftentimes we like to pray just what we want and just start with ourselves when we pray. And so here's the major task for the sinner, to pray, to take God's promises and pray them, that he'll bring them to pass. And it's just like James says, that those who pray in faith, that he will answer and he'll bring them to pass, because he's a faithful God to answer. Just like Psalm 143 says, hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness. And so he knows that the Lord there will answer him in faithfulness because it is his will. Let's pray ourselves. Our Father, we do thank you for giving us this great promise here with David in the beginning of this chapter of establishing his throne forever, which points us to Jesus Christ. And we ask that he would reign forever and ever, and that we would reign with him as you have promised to those who endure, that we will reign with him. And Father, we ask that as we are united to Christ, because of your predestination, because of your electing purposes, Father, as you establish his throne and as you have established his throne, Lord, cause him to reign over all evil. Cause him to reign over all of our lives. That as we continue in this world, it is difficult, we know, and we come against struggle, physical sickness and illness and allergies and bodies which can't hold up and fall apart and eventually die. Father, we ask that you would hold us up some days longer, that we would serve you more here for your glory. And Father, we ask that you would sustain us and reign over our, not only our physical bodies, but our spiritual lives, our souls, that you would strengthen us, that you would reign in our hearts, and that you would, even this day, even as we worship you this evening, that you would be working in our hearts. Father, we cannot change our own hearts, or you have to do it in us. And so we ask that your word, as it goes forth, you would change us, and your spirit would accompany that word, and that you would reign over our hearts. Father, we praise you and thank you. We do stand in awe and in wonder, just as David did here, because you are the God who is sovereign over all things. You are this God who is sovereign, who has the sovereign grace, who even before we ever existed, decreed that we would be here this evening and worshiping you, and that you've brought us together as your people. Father, we ask that you would continue favoring us, though we do not deserve it. Continue showing us your mercy and be faithful in these ways, because you have said that you will continually shed upon us grace and mercy and your covenant faithfulness. Oh, be faithful to us, Father, according to your word. You would heal, even as we think of Mary Ashley, that you would heal her body, that you would give her strength to begin to get up and walk around and do what she needs to do to strengthen her bones and her muscles there and her leg, that they would heal and that she would have full functionality. Lord, be faithful to her. And Father, we ask that you would be with Marie, who's not here this evening. We pray that you would be faithful to her and strengthen her body, as we always have prayed, and we've prayed for Bob and Sharon and Dina and others, Lord, who need your strength. We all need this strength in our body, that you would work in us. For we cannot do one little jot or tittle. We can't move. We can't breathe. Our blood will not flow without you working in us, your sovereign grace. And so, Father, work it in us. Be faithful, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.